Yeah.
Estimating the factor models, again, why you should understand how a factor analysis is calculated. In exploratory factor analysis, it's not that important to understand how it's calculated. But with confirmatory factor analysis, when you apply it the first time, it's quite likely that the results are not what you want them to be, and then you have to understand why. So you have to understand a bit of how the software works. So we covered how to do a path analysis from a correlation matrix. So you calculate the model implied values for each correlation. You optimize the model parameters so that the implied value is the same or as close as possible to the outcome. In factor analysis, we apply the same logic. So we construct the implied matrix, we compare the implied matrix and model the actual observed correlation matrix, try to make those as similar as possible. So let's apply the tracing rules to the factor analysis model. What is the correlation between A1 and A2? Correlation between A1 and A2. How many different ways we can go from A1 to A2?
One.
And up. And down. So it's that factor loading, lambda times that factor loading. So it's that kind of factor. Lambda A1, lambda A2. What is the correlation between A1 and B1?
Lambda A1 times Y times lambda B1.
Yeah. Yeah, that's phi, I think, yeah. So lambda A1 times phi plus lambda B1. And what is the variance of A1?
Set to be normal.
We could say that it's 1, but how do we define? This is an endogenous variable. So the variance of an endogenous variable is defined with as a weighted sum of variances of exogenous variables. So how do we, what is the, how many different ways do we have from going from A1 to somewhere and coming back?
To error term.
Error term and back.
And then to A.
A and back. So we take lambda A1 times the variance of A1 times lambda A1. So this is correlation, so it's lambda A1 squared plus the error term. So lambda A1 squared because we go up and then back to A. So we take it both ways. So that's why we square. How many unknown parameters we have in the model?
7.
No. How many? 13. Yeah. We have 6 factor loadings, 6 error variances, and this correlation. So we are saying that the factors have variances of 1. So we have 13 free parameters. And how we estimate these free parameters is that we take our data matrix. We calculate a model implied matrix using these parameter values. We have 21 unique elements in the correlation matrix. So our degrees of freedom is 8. So we have 21 units in the data, 21 unique cells here, 13 parameters, and the difference is 8. So this is an over-identified model. And here is, I promise to cite, a degrees of freedom calculator. So whenever if you review a paper that reports structural regression modeling results, you can use this calculator here, presented by Jose Cortina and his co-authors in organizational research methods, to verify that the degrees of freedom are reported correctly. And they loaded, they read through quite a large amount of papers, and they found out that about 1 out of 3 had reported degrees of freedom. So then they speculate why that could be the case. So maybe sometimes authors adjust the model, they add an error correlation somewhere, and they don't report that they did that. Can be sloppiness, can be trying to cover up that you do things that you're not supposed to be doing. So again, how do how do we estimate this problem? Well, the same thing we do least squares, and we use path analysis. We calculate the difference between each unique cells in the observed matrix and implied matrix, raises to the power of 2, and then we get the unweighted least squares. This is estimated exactly the same way. So we calculate the residual, and then we minimize the sum of squared residual covariances. That gives us the estimates. Then we have the issue of identification. So let's talk about identification now in a bit more detail, because it's easier to understand in a factor analysis context. So let's look at this kind of factor model. So we have two indicators loading on one factor. And we have three parameters. So we have two factor loadings and two error variances. What kind of problems do we have? So let's try estimating these parameters here, error variances 2 and 2 loadings. So we construct the model implied correlation matrix here. And we can see that we have three units of information. We have three variances and one covariance in the data. And we want to estimate four things. So our decrease of freedom is going to be minus 1. We are asking the data more than what it can give us. So this is not identified. One way to understand the non-identification is that if, let's say that the correlation between A1 and A2 is very small.
May I ask you a question? So
yeah.
Then this means that you cannot run an exploratory factor analysis, for example, with two variables?
No, you can't.
You can't?
You can't.
It has to be at least 3.
Yeah. You have to have at least 3 variables in an exploratory factor analysis. The thing is that if we observe a correlation between A1 and A2, it can be low because A1 is unreliable, A2 is reliable. Or A2 is unreliable and A1 is reliable. We cannot say which one of those indicators is more reliable based on one correlation only. So it's kind of like the same thing when we have a feedback loop and we only observe the correlation with two things where the feedback is. We can't say which direction it goes. So this is the same thing. We don't have enough information to estimate the model. So here's an example of an unidentified model. And let's say the empirical matrix, the correlation is 0.1. And we have these, we are still estimating the factor correlations, factor variances here. So we can't solve this. It's possible that the A1 is low because of either these factors are not correlated. It's possible that it's low because A1 is unreliable or B1 is unreliable. We can't say. So that's the issue of identification. Do we have enough information in the data to ask which one of these is small? Let's look at unstandardized factors then. So this part we have been talking about factors whose variances are constrained to be 1, because that's what we have in exploratory factor analysis. So exploratory factor analysis typically reports use standardized estimates. Let's say that we also say that we don't fix these factor variances to be 1s, rather we estimate them freely. So we have 15 free parameters. Then we estimate the free parameters. So we have data gives us 21 units of information again. We have 15 things that we estimate. So the decrease of freedom is 6. So the decrease of freedom is positive. And so do we have a problem or is it okay?
It's okay.
seems okay this part, but there's a problem. But let's take a look at the problem. So let's have the actual data here, observed covariance matrix, just something that I generated, and implied matrix. And this model will fit the data perfectly. So if you calculate using tracing rules, we have the correlation between A1 and B2, B1. It's the factor loading of A1 times this correlates covariance here times this factor loading here. It equals 0.3. The problem is that this model, this set of parameter values, fits the data equally well. So if the variance of the second factor, the factor A, is actually 2 instead of 1, it allows, it gives us equally good fit. So we can't say what the variance of the factor is. Same if we divide it by 0, by half, the factor variance here, we will get a different set of estimates. So every variable, we could have an indefinitely many different sets of parameter values that all reproduce this correlation. So every variable in your model must have a scale. So you have to set variance for each variable in your model somehow. In path analysis models, it's not complicated because we are observing every variable. There are no latent variables. So we have actual data that tells us that the variance of one variable is 4.7 and variance of another variable is 3. But how do we know what is the variance of one factor when we don't actually observe the factor itself?
So do you have to always standardize in factor analysis?
No. We don't actually, standardization is normally done in exploratory factor analysis. In confirmatory factor analysis, standardization is an exception rather than a rule.
And it has to be always done, or you can, for example, you get three different things, observed variables, and you want to run a factor analysis, would you standardize them or not?
It depends on if I just have three indicators, I would use standardized factor analysis. If I have more than one factor, if I have two factors, then whether I standardize or not depends on what is going to be, what is my next analysis step going to be. Typically, if I do confirmatory factor analysis, I don't standardize. Okay, so we have to decide which one of these solutions we use. And there is really no way of saying whether it's better to say that the variance of factor A is 1 than the variance of factor A is 2 or 0.01 or a million. That's just a decision that we make about the scale of the variable. In exploratory factor analysis, we just say that, okay, let's assume all factors are standardized. So variance of 1, mean 0. And in confirmatory factor analysis, that is not the only option. So we need to set the scale of each latent variable. I'll demonstrate this in the computer class. And the idea is that the scales of A's and B's indicators are known because they are measured variables. And scales of A and B, those are variables that we basically construct the data, and we just have to set the scales ourselves. So we have to set the variance, and one strategy that is very easy to understand is to standardize latent variables. So say that these variances are ones, and that's what we do in an exploratory factor analysis. The problem with this scale setting is that for reasons that I'll explain tomorrow, this can't be applied with structural regression models. So quite often you follow a confirmatory factor analysis with a structural regression model, where we actually have regression paths among the factors. So we can't apply this for reasons that I'll explain tomorrow. So instead we say that the first indicator, factor loading, is constrained to be 1. And that gives us the scale for the latent variable. So we know that the variance of A here is whatever is the factor variance in the indicator A1. So that's how we provide this scale. And this is the default scale setting approach with every structural ecosystem software that I've seen. I say most because I haven't seen every software. Any software that I know by default sets the scales this way. So you will always see that the first factor loading is constrained to be 1. Then you have an estimated of factor variance, and then the other indicators are also estimated. So the latent variable is scaled to be equal to the latent score variable, whatever is A1. And you should always use this rule. It simplifies your life. If you want to know what the standardized factor loadings are, you can ask the software to produce you the standardized estimates as well. So the software will first estimate this kind of model with this kind of scaling, and then you'll convert the solution to standardized. We'll see an example. So in the Mesquite and Lazzarini paper that you read, we can see here that the loadings, the first loading is always 1, and there is no t statistic. So it's constrained to be 1, it's not estimated. And I have an arrow here pointing that this is a typo in the paper. And this is the c statistic. Same with the Ylirenko paper, they are applying this same scale setting approach. How do we know? We know because the first factor loading doesn't have a z statistic. So it's constrained to be a fixed value. Then they just standardize the factor solution afterwards. So it's not estimated. The latent variables are given scales that way. So an how are these confirmatory factor analysis models identified then? So we have to have non-negative degrees of freedom, and we have to have scale for each latent variable. So these, after we have established a scale, the rules are that if you have 3 indicators and a scale, then the factor model is identified. If we have 2 indicators, then we either must fix these loadings to be equal. We can only say that if we have only observed correlation with A1 and A2, we can tell what is the average reliability of A1 and A2. We can't say which one of them is more reliable.
Well, we're going to have examples of this
in the class.
Yes, in this.
And if you have one indicator rule, if you have one indicator factor, then we can't say anything about reliability. Because reliability is defined as the correlation between 2 parallel tests. And if we only have 1 test, we can't estimate reliability. We have to constrain the error variance to a known value. We could either constrain it to 0, which is very common. So we can't say anything about reliability. Therefore, we assume that this A1 is perfectly reliable. That's the most common way of doing it. And another way is to look at existing literature and see what kind of reliability people report for the indicator.
But this means that you can do factor analysis standardizing the variables with there are 2. You just
you can standardization is something that you apply after your analysis. So we estimate the model, we get some kind of estimates, and then we ask the computer to standardize
this. For factor analysis, can I standardize the variables and then I got 2 observed variables and create a factor out of those 2 standardized variables?
Yeah, you can.
That means, but if they're not standardized, you can't.
You can standardize a factor analysis solution after you have done your analysis.
Or
you can get standardized estimates by standardizing the indicators before the analysis and constraining your factor variance to be 1.
But
that will give you the exact same result.
Okay, but you were saying that you couldn't run a factor analysis with just 2 observed variables. So you can use it whenever your observed variables are standardized. Otherwise, you cannot do it.
Those are two, the number of indicators in the factor model and standardization are 2 completely different things. They're not related.
Yes. So Do you understand me? Or maybe
no.
No. Okay. I got two observed variables.
Yeah.
And I want to create a latent variable. Mm. May I run a factor analysis?
Yes, if you constrain both of the indicators to be equally reliable,
and
or you can say that one is 0.5 times as reliable as the other one. So
and that is the same as saying as getting those variables, standardizing them,
no,
and then no.
That's a different thing. So standardization, number of variables, and constraining factor values to be equal are three different things.
And how can you constrain that thingy with a factor analysis?
Well, you just tell your software that these, instead of estimating one thing, two things, you estimate one factor loading and you use the same factor loading value for both of these variables.
And that can be done in the like in the previous assignment that you gave us, that you were saying.
No, that was exploratory factor analysis.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
I'm talking
in
about
exploratory factor analysis. You can. In exploratory factor analysis, you can't estimate this kind of model at all.
Never.
Never.
After standardizing.
No,
never.
No, you can't. With confounder factor analysis, you can estimate this kind of model, but you can't say whether A1 or A2 is more reliable. So you have to tell software that give me estimates assuming these are equally reliable, or give me estimates assuming that one is 70% as reliable as the other one, or whatever you want to have. But you have to tell the software that which one of these is more reliable and by how much, because it can be estimated. So identification means that a solution exists and it is unique. And it requires scale setting for all latent variables. Our degrees of freedom must be positive, and also all parts of the model must be individually identified. Let's have an example after lunch and then we'll work on the computers. So let's meet in the computer lab in 1 hour. And then I'll demonstrate you, I'll walk you through an example, and then you get to replicate the example on your computer.
Okay.
Can I ask something?
Yeah, sure.
Can you go back one slide? In the second indicator, basically the model without fixing the losses has negative degrees of freedom. That's
yeah.
Why. And then we are trying to reduce the number of three parameters to make it.
Yeah.
So instead of fixing the reliability, can we estimate? Can we fix the variance on the errors? Does it have
yeah,
the same effect?
That's the same effect.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you know that the errors are all similar, then making an assumption on the errors.
Well, you have to. The reliability is the degree to which there's random error in the data. So you basically have to make an assumption about the ratio of error variance in A1 and the true factor variance. You have to make the assumption in one way or another. You can't say which one is more reliable. How you code that assumption into the model is a different piece. So let's see at 1:30 in the computer lab.